Let's take your Bibles. We'll turn together to John chapter 20. It's found on page 1153 in the Pew Bibles, John 20. We'll read the entire chapter. Focus, though, will be verses 11 through 18. Congregation, hear now the very words of God. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. As far the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, today is Easter Sunday, the day when we particularly commemorate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Remember that Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. He was truly dead. He was really dead. But on Sunday, on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. Is that too good to be true? It wasn't what his followers thought, not initially. It was because rising from the dead, it was not even in their imagination. They had no idea of it at all, even though they had been told. We read there that they did, verse 9, as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. So there is much coming to faith in this chapter. Slow steps toward believing. Yet by God's grace, they do believe. As you and I are to do as well. That's what I proclaim to you this morning. Believe that Jesus is risen. Believe that Jesus is risen. First, we consider the need for faith. Our passage, our text begins with Mary outside the tomb. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. She was weeping. There, the tomb in which Jesus' body had been placed on Friday. Not just crying, but again, weeping. She was so distraught, not only at Jesus' death, although no doubt she was still sad at that, and perhaps there is a lot in those tears that are coming out, that sorrow. But we do not hear that she was weeping before she came to the tomb or on the way to the tomb. She was weeping because the body wasn't there. She thought she had everything taken from her. She thought first with the death of her Lord on Friday, and now even his dead body is taken away. Maybe you've gone to the grave of a loved one. Some people go to their loved one's graves and they remember somehow being there where their body has been laid, often a marker also. You can't see that person anymore. You can't touch her. But just being near. Even that was taken from Mary, she thought. Body was gone. Who knew who had taken it? The Roman soldiers, maybe? Maybe the one that later she encounters that she thinks is the gardener? Who knew where it was brought? All she knew is it was gone. Where could she go to remember? Where could she go to have some connection anymore with him? This man who had done so many wonderful miracles. Even Mary herself had 7 demons cast out of her by Jesus. Taught so many wonderful things. We know why she wept, why she sobbed. He was not there. But you know what? Even if the body was still there, if Jesus was still dead and she could go there and have the memory stirred, could anoint the body, she could have hopes that she could just remember, even though they were disappointed. If she could have had what she was looking for on that Easter morning, she would not have been any better off. Not really. She would still have to leave the tomb. She would have to leave his body if it was still dead in there. The body that would slowly pass into dust. She would have memories, but nothing more. She and others had been healed. But still, there was the final enemy of death that awaited her. No memory, no good thought, no moralistic teaching can defeat death. We all know that. Death consumes us all. It's the final destiny of us all if the Lord tarries. Mary needed something more. She needed a reality, and she also needed, because the reality was there, she needed faith in that reality. We're not talking about faith that many people say, oh, just believe things will get better. Believe you'll come out on top. Believe something better awaits. Have that kind of faith. Believe in someone's teaching. Put into practice and the world will be a better place. No, not that type of faith. Is that even worthy of the word faith? Mary needed a true faith, a real faith. She needed to believe what God had really done in history than to live her own continued skewed wrong view of reality. You know, reality, the real situation with Jesus' body, it was different than what Mary thought. The universe, all things have been changed. That was beyond removing the seven demons from Mary, though it's related. It was beyond healing the blind and the mute, the lame and the deaf, even raising persons like Lazarus from the dead, though again, it's related. Here's something that had never happened before. Something that will not happen until the end of the world. A man who was crucified, accursed by God, who was dead, he's been raised. Not just to live again as before, like Lazarus, but raised to a different kind of living. A living that's beyond death forever. No longer captive, no longer affected at all by decay, by death, by sin and its effects. There's a reality of resurrection. The reality of the new heavens and the new earth come into our reality. Here is something new. Something gloriously new. Something that will not be experienced again until the entire cosmos and creation is renewed when Jesus comes again. And we can't even begin to grasp that. But the reality is right there, standing in front of Mary. The angels were pointers to it. Jesus himself is it. He is risen. Sin, Satan, and death, they're defeated. God has triumphed. The kingdom of heaven has come in power. Power over sin, over the grave. Here is the break between the age of sin and Adam and the age of righteousness and the Spirit. She turns, standing there before Mary. But she doesn't get it. There's a need for faith. How much do we have in our lives where sorrow, brokenness, tears, they can blind us to obvious truths before our eyes, and our loved ones come, they want to shake us out of it. They want us to see. But our earthly experience and our reaction to it distracts us from and hides from us which God is doing. We're so often set in our life, our patterns, our ways of thinking, our jobs, our family, our sorrow. We don't see. We don't grasp what God has done in Christ. But God sends angels, messengers, ministers to declare to you, to hold before you and me the fact of this new reality. In Christ, by his crucifixion and resurrection, the old has passed away. Behold, all, everything has become new. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, now counting their trespasses against them. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now is the day of salvation. The kingdom of heaven has come. Repent and believe the good news. So here is the need for faith. The reality of this new heavens and new earth is before Mary. It's declared to you and me this morning. Here is truth, glorious truth. Yet without faith, one will not embrace it. Without faith, there will be no rejoicing. Without faith, there is only weeping. Weeping outside the tomb. But Mary doesn't stay there. Where does this faith come from then for Mary? Well, as we move to in our second point, for Mary, it does not come simply from seeing. Seeing is not believing. So Mary, she ran to the tomb. She saw that the stone had been rolled away. But she did not believe from seeing that. She saw the tomb was empty. She stooped to look into the tomb. She saw the two angels there. And while John came away believing, when he had gone into the tomb and seen, when he looked, when he saw, Mary did not believe. She turned around after having the angel spoken to her. Verse 14, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she didn't believe from that. What more is there to do? If she won't believe what her eyes see, what will she believe? So it is with so many people. Maybe we think, well, simply show them the truth and people will grasp it and people will follow it. Simply clear away the clutter, the noise, the agendas. If we can simply educate people to the facts of the case, simply show them, they will join us in the cause of truth. Some people think that about economics or politics or things learned in the classroom or the workforce. But let me ask you, young adults, young people who are in math, teacher walks up to the whiteboard and writes a mathematical equation or problem there on the whiteboard, and you've never seen it before. Do they expect you to grasp it? To understand it all at once? Even if they go through it once, it's once enough. And suddenly you can do it yourself? Often not. Some people think protecting life before it's born, and this is good to show people. The baby in the womb is moving, has feelings. Well, will everyone agree then? Well, yes, that's a human life, and of course we need to protect that life. Sadly, we know there are many learned people who make fancy arguments. Oh, no, it's not life. And you can kill that whatever it is in the womb, and even after. Even though they can see with their eyes, it's human. Some people think that of Christianity. Just hear the truth and we can answer objections that others bring, then they will believe. Now, certainly we should strive to answer objections. Again, certainly we should show that the baby in the womb is alive. Many people spend all their lives living amongst true Christians, and yet they never come to saving faith. What about you? You see, faith cannot be created within someone's heart simply by seeing the truth, being exposed to the truth, living amongst the truth. Even though there were tears in Mary's eyes, she still saw the empty tomb. She saw the angels. She saw the Lord himself. Many people say, if God would appear to me, I'd believe. He appeared to Mary. Mary didn't believe because of that. Seeing is not believing, not in and of itself. In fact, the Word of God says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Faith is critical there in how we are brought from our error to truth, confusion to clarity, mourning to rejoicing. Where then does this faith come from? I move to that in our third point. Hearing. Hearing leads to believing. For Mary, it took something beyond seeing to work faith within Mary's heart. And even then, it was not Mary who produced that faith. We'll come to that. But it took hearing. Even more, a special type of hearing. It was not hearing the questions that the angels asked. Woman, why are you weeping? Verse 13. It wasn't even hearing the question Jesus asked there in verse 15. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? The obvious questions, that they demonstrate Mary's own unbelief, blindness in her sorrow. The truth was shown by angels. The Lord was standing before her. She didn't believe. The truth was heard with the questioning of the angels and the Lord himself. She didn't believe. So consumed was she with her earthly experience of seeing Jesus dead and buried and now the body gone. So distracted was she by what she thought was reality, what she believed was reality, what others told her that reality was. So distracted, she didn't realize what was true. He's risen. Even coming from the lips of the Master, those questions don't do it. Even that hearing It's the call of the Master. It's that call. She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." When that call came into her ears, but even more, into her very heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, when Jesus called her name, Mary. That one earthly word, yet behind it was the power of the living God. Remember, children, Lazarus. Jesus said, "Roll the stone away from the tomb." And they said, "What? He's been there. He's going to stink." He said, "You're going to see the power of God." And what did Jesus say? "Lazarus," he called him. "Lazarus, come forth." Jesus now calls Mary, "Mary." And from her spiritual tomb, she comes. He called with words that could be heard, can be read by all, but it's especially as he called to her with the power of Spirit upon her heart, and her very soul. And Christ still calls today. How does he do that? He does it externally in our ears with the preaching of the gospel, but he does it internally in our hearts by the work of his Spirit. Now we think of that preaching. Now in preaching, we don't have a question and answer time, do we? Preaching's not that sort of thing. It's not that. It's primarily a time of proclaiming, declaration. Christ was crucified for sin. Christ has been risen from the dead. All who believe in Jesus, you're forgiven of your sins. Hear and believe, repent and believe, and be saved. Like Mary, you and I will not believe unless we hear more than those earthly words with our earthly ears from an earthly preacher. Christ himself speaks by his Spirit and word to our souls. Now he does that ordinarily with the word that's preached, the preached word that we hear with our earthly ears, but not all who hear the preaching of the word hear the Christ speaking to their souls unto faith and repentance. Christ must speak that word. And truly, Christ does speak it. He calls to his people. Have you heard him? Do you hear him? Has your soul heard Christ call to you? Or are you simply sitting here in an earthly building, listening to earthly words, concerned with your earthly life, distracted by your earthly cares, loving this earthly world and the earthly things of it? So focused on your earthly experience that, God can't interact with this world. Dead people don't come to life. There really is no eternal heaven, no final judgment, no interaction of Jesus with this world now. No, those are fine for women and little children. I know better. In the midst of your own earthly experience and blindness, hear the voice of Jesus call to you as he called Mary. Hear and believe. He's not dead. A dead man could not talk to you, could not name you, could not call you. Jesus is alive. And we are proof of that. He was dead. He's now alive, risen with healing in his wings. He has become a life-giving spirit, imparting to his chosen ones all his blessedness, even life eternal. Hear him, the crucified, risen Lord. And in hearing, believe. When Jesus calls by his word and spirit, he brings forth spiritual life. He grants to us the gift of faith. He saves. And Mary cried out, "Rabboni," which means teacher. He's our teacher. He interprets for us. He makes plain to us the reality that's before us. He's risen. So here, hearing leads to faith. And it's the risen Christ, the one who was dead, and behold, he's alive forevermore, this exalted one who speaks and creates faith. And so, people of God, read the Word of God in your home. Children, you know how to read. Read the Bible. come to hear the preaching of the gospel, but do more than just sit. Listen closely. Strain yourselves to hear the words, to hear Him. Pray that God would send His Spirit to your heart, the heart of your husband, your wife, your children and grandchildren, your neighbors and co-workers. Pray that God would draw them, that they would hear this message, and God would change them by His Word and Spirit. He did it for Mary. Believer, He's done it for you. He still does it today. Praise the Lord. And then as you listen, as you hear, as you're changed, we go forth and we spread that faith, the words of the Christian faith. We move to that in our fourth point, spreading the faith. Now Jesus sent Mary. He said in verse 17, "Go to my brothers." He didn't send Mary as a missionary to the world, but to the disciples to bring that good news. And she left. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that He had said these things to her. He obeyed. She obeyed. Now we think of the messages Mary brought that Easter morning. She had two types of messages. The first, verse 2, early on, she ran. She went to Simon Peter, the other disciple, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him." At that point, she spoke falsehood. Well, she didn't know where He was, but there was no one who took Him out of the tomb. It was not true that they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. Her message, that first message, which came when she did not believe, it didn't help the disciples, did it? Oh, she was sincere in it. She thought it was right. But now that Jesus has revealed Himself to Mary, now that He has opened her eyes, He has taught her, the teacher taught her the truth about Himself, worked faith within her heart, she has a message, a wonderful message, a completely different message. "I have seen the Lord." And she didn't mean the dead body of the Lord. She didn't mean, "I saw where they laid Him, come, let's take Him." No, she has seen the risen Lord. She spread the faith. Her earlier message, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they laid Him. It's been changed to, I have seen the Lord." She found out where her Lord was. Not a dead body, but risen. Now, there would be a time of 40 days between the events of His resurrection and ascension, a time when they were not to cling to Jesus because He had to go to heaven again. But then afterward, after Christ ascended into heaven, they would no longer look here or there for a body. His body is in heaven. And they would realize they don't need to touch His body with their hands. They don't need to be physically near to Jesus to remember Him, to recall His teachings, or even to partake of His power. Because with His ascension, Jesus enters into His full glory, a glory where He takes full possession of the Spirit and pours out that Spirit upon His followers. So we all share in Christ's blessings. By the Holy Spirit, Christ brings something better than just memories, or just a teaching, or just an earthly encouragement to action. He imparts Himself to us. He joins believers to Himself by His Spirit. That's mysterious, but it's a glorious truth. Easter is not just about, oh, spring is here, it's a new leaf, it's, you know, things are starting to sprout. It's a chance to make a new turn in life. We had that back in New Year's, but well, we failed again. But here we can do it again. No. It's a glorious truth that Christ is risen. He is almighty. He does change people. And we belong body and soul in life and in death to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And that belonging is that. It's union and communion with Him. It's this faith, the Christian faith, Jesus, the Son of God, crucified for sins, risen, ascended, coming again. It's that faith we are to spread abroad. That's good news. News that is too good to be contained to just 1 hour twice a day on Sunday. News that's too powerful to affect only 2 hours per week. It's news that concerns all of your life, all of this world. News of the power of God within history, the power of God within your heart life. The power to conquer sin, Satan, and death. To supply righteousness where before there was only guilt. To bring life where before there was only death. To bring joy where there was only despair. What is it you're struggling with? What is it you're looking for, seeking? Why are you crying? Christ is risen. That's the message, the faith you and I are to spread. And as others see in your life, yes, you go through sorrows and crying and hard times and good times. But there is someone who is giving you grace in it all. And they say, what's going on? How can you do that? Why don't you just end it all? Why don't you drown your sorrows like we do in alcohol and drugs? Why don't you lose yourself in these video games and these other pursuits? Why don't you just work hard so you don't have to face reality the other times? You've been given an opportunity to evangelize. Say, let me tell you, it's not me. Let me tell you about Jesus. He's risen from the dead. And that changes everything. Here's the message, the faith you and I are to spread. It's not us, it's Him. And having our words confirmed by our lives, yes, imperfect lives, but lives that have been changed and are being changed. Here's the message with proof that Christ is not dead. He is risen, He's ascended, He's spreading His kingdom. There's hope. There's joy, there's peace. Again, do you know that? Congregation, by God's grace, hear and believe the news. Christ is risen. God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. And then by His grace and the power of His Spirit, live in line with that message. And spread that faith by your words, echoed by your changed lives. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Praise God. Heavenly Father, You raised Jesus from the dead. And we hear, we believe that. But Lord, we confess, we need You to help our unbelief. Because many times we have tears and struggles that if we saw rightly, we wouldn't have those. And so, Lord, as we hear this message again, strengthen our faith. Where there is no faith, as we asked before, create it. Lord, even for those whom You've given that gift, we need it to be strengthened. That in every area of our life, we would live in the power of Christ's Spirit. Putting off that which is the old, putting on the new. Putting off the old in our speech, in our actions, in our attitudes, in our expectations. Putting on the new in all those in every realm. Oh Lord, we need Your work. You have done it in Christ. Now impart that to us by Christ's Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.